presence, for you yourself, and for the word, the Bible that you've given us. God, I ask for your mercy. I pray that this morning you would speak through me. God, you know what people are coming in with this morning. I don't, but you do. So I pray you'd minister to each one of us individually, that somehow you would use the words from your word to minister to us. Thank you, Lord. We look forward to what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, before we actually get into the service, or the actual message, I just want to touch base a little bit. We've just completed our first week of the fast. For those of you who are participating, if those of you are new here, we started a fast called Awakening, and it's a three-week fast. We finished the first week. As a pastor, I want to say a couple things. One is the first week may seem tough, but we have what helps us is the novelty of it all. It's all new. So we're like, oh, this is cool. But now we're hitting the second week. This is typically the grouchy week. This is the week where we begin to feel the hunger pains. We begin to get annoyed that we can't eat what we want to eat, that people's little patterns and habits begin to bother us quicker than they normally do. So I want to just say that this is a time to push in to God. The purpose of this fast is for us to get closer to God. So every time we feel those pains, whether it be from food or something else you're fasting, take a moment and say, God, I love you. This is just a time to push into God. Try not to complain. Try not to moan. Jesus says some stuff later on in the Sermon on the Mount about making a big deal in front of other people about your fast. Jesus says to make sure you shower, wash your hair, put on makeup, whatever it is you do, in order to just kind of let people know that you love God. So let's keep going this. I also want to thank Blanca. If you guys get a chance, look at the food she put out there. It's all vegetables, and it looks wonderful, and she put a lot of work into it. So yeah, why don't we give her a hand for all that too? We will, next week, we'll say it in the announcements, but next week in the morning before service starts, we'll have a special prayer time for the fast, and we're trying to work on some arrangements to end our fast together on the evening of the 30th. So just keep in mind those things. All right, let's get into God's Word. We've been going through a series called Four Dumb Things Smart People Do. If you have a bulletin inside, you'll see some message notes. We're talking about four dumb things smart people do. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how dumb people hold on to anger, or smart people hold on to anger. It's dumb to do that. Smart people tend to undervalue their marriage. This morning we're going to focus on a new topic, and that is one dumb thing that smart people do is they tend to promise more than they can deliver. They tend to promise more than they can deliver. So to look at this, we're going to continue going through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And so if you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 33. If you're new to the Bible, Matthew is in the first book in the New Testament, about two-thirds of the way in. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Find chapter 5. We'll start at verse 33. Here we go. Again, you have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oath you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. An interesting thing that Jesus is preaching to, I want to give you some background so you can appreciate what Jesus is addressing here. The Jews of that time believed for good reason that if you make any promise using God's name, you've got to keep that promise. You're using God's name. So if you say, I promise by God's name, or I swear to God I will do this, that is binding. You do not break that. But people began to get clever. Like, well, I wonder if we can make some wiggle room here. What if we swear or promise by heaven? It's not God, but it's kind of close to God. Then maybe there's some, how about this? If we say we promise by heaven, we'll say, yeah, we really mean it, but, you know, we might not come through. And then they thought, hey, what if we promise by earth? I mean, that's even further from God. I mean, it's a promise, but now there's even more wiggle room. Hey, what if we promise by Jerusalem? That's where the temple is. Well, and so what happened is the religious leaders actually got involved and began to make a set of rules of what really made a promise a promise. So if you swear by God's name, it's a promise. If you swear by heaven or earth, well, so-so. If you swear by Jerusalem, so-so. If you swear toward Jerusalem, no, that's a promise because that's different. And so you began to get all these little finicky things of what really meant a promise was a promise. Well, Jesus comes in and says, this is just silly. Everything belongs to God. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Any more than that is just plain evil. Be true to your word. That may sound silly. This happened 2,000 years ago, but we have our own things, don't we? You know, sure, I'll do it. And then someone says, hey, I thought you said you were going to do that. Oh, I just said that in passing. Or, you know, but we say things, and sometimes we don't really mean it. And what God is saying here is that he wants us to be true to our word, that when we say we're going to do something, we actually do it. We want it so that when people say that we're going to do something, they actually believe us because we have a track record of follow-through. We want to be true to our word. We want our word to be as good as gold. And one thing that smart people do that actually is dumb is they think, you know, I can make promises here and there, and it's no big deal if I don't come through. See, sometimes we make promises because we want to save face, right? Hey, you going to the party tomorrow? Sure, I'll be there. But deep inside, you know you don't want to go. You're just saying it because it's easier to say yes in the moment and just not show up, right? Or, you guys don't do this. Okay, I'm just revealing my sin then. All right. Or sometimes we say yes really quickly and we don't count the cost. If you let your yes be reliable, if you let your promises be reliable, people will begin to look at you and trust you more. They'll say, that person is good for his word. That woman, she tells the truth. When she says yes, when she says she's going to be there, when he says he's going to do that, we can relax because we know they're going to come through. Let me ask you, how many of you would want a reputation that when you say you're going to do something, people believe you because you've come through? That's what Jesus is talking about. Become that kind of person. Now, we often aren't that kind of person because of a couple errors. And so what I want to do with the rest of our time is not just talk about our general words, but I want to talk about our big yeses. And what I mean by that is that there are times when God presents big opportunities for us, whether it be on a job, in church, a volunteer opportunity, a friend needs help. What I want to do is talk about how do we promise when it comes to those big opportunities, those big yeses. And we're going to use the Bible as a guideline to show some of the principles that the Bible speaks about. So if you're taking notes, the first is this. Number one is promise slowly. Promise slowly. God takes our promises so seriously that in Ecclesiastes 5:5 it says, it is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. In other words, the best way not to ever break a promise is not to make one in the first place. You want to slow down on your promises. You want to think through what you're promising. We all find it easy to promise quickly when we're excited about something, when we're trying to save face. This is how it came in true in my life. When I was in high school, I had taken piano lessons for most of my younger years. And so in high school, my buddy who was in a church choir, he told me that his church choir was looking for a piano player, and he was wondering if I'd be willing to be the piano player for their choir. Different church I wasn't going to, and I said, sure, I would love that. So I met with the choir director, and he kind of did a little rehearsal for me, and then I realized, well, this is kind of hard work, and I asked about the schedule, and it was like a lot of time. And so I went to the first two choir rehearsals playing piano, and the third one, because I didn't really want this, I just didn't show up. That was my way of getting out of a commitment that I made too quickly. Well, the choir director eventually called me. He said, where have you been? And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to do this. And of course, he was angry. He said, you promised. We got everything scheduled around you being there. He met with me. He kind of let me have it. And I realized that one of my errors is when my friend said, hey, do you want to play for the choir? I said, sure, no problem. But if I only had stopped and slowed down, I would have been able to ask more questions and say things like, well, how much time does this involve? What skill level do you need? Who's the choir director? What he's like? I didn't do any of that. My yes was too quick, and therefore I paid for it later. Proverbs 20:25 says, it is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly only later to consider his vows. So it gets you in a trap when you promise things too quickly, when you say yes too quickly to those big opportunities. So one of the things you want to work on and ask God for help is when those big yeses come by, when those big opportunities come by, even if you feel like, wow, this is from God, even if you're excited about it, even if you sense, wow, God is really showing this is clear, it's okay to say, let me pray about this. Let me talk to people. Let me get back to you. Because what you're doing is you're promising slowly so that when you do say yes, it's a good yes. It's a strong yes. It's a yes of gold where you really come through on what you're promising. Promising slowly also helps you count the cost ahead of time. It helps you think through what is this going to involve. And, you know, Jesus tells a story of a man in Luke 14. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. So Jesus tells the story of a man who said, I'm going to go build a tower and put no forethought into it. He didn't count the cost ahead of time. He started building and realized, I don't have enough to follow through on this. And what happened to this man is his reputation was tarnished. Oh, there's Sam, the guy who, oh, when he says yes, don't really believe him. You've got to call him or email him 10 times before he really comes through. And he began to have this reputation. Jesus says, you do not want to have that kind of reputation. And one of the keys to building a solid yes, a solid promise, is to promise slowly and stop and think, what will this cost me? What's involved? How much time will it take? How much money will it take? What are the days and hours? How will this affect my other commitments? What do I need to change around to make this work? And I guarantee you, if you're the kind of person that stops and thinks before they promise, your yeses will be so strong that when you say yes, you will gain that reputation of people saying, this person is reliable. Their yes really means yes. And that's the kind of person we want to become. What I found is that those who promise quickly to something big are just as quick to drop out because they haven't counted the cost. When I ask someone to commit to something, let's say in church, I encourage them not to say yes to me right away. Hey, you want to do this, but before you say yes, I want you to take some time to pray about it. I want you to take some time to talk to other people about it. I want you to take some time to think through what this would mean for your schedule. Then come back to me, and if it's a yes, tell me yes. Because if your yes is yes then I know it's for sure. But if you come to me and say, yeah, Pastor John, that sounds great, I'll do it, automatically I feel a little fear. Because you haven't counted the cost, and I'm concerned that in a few weeks you'll just disappear because you're too ashamed to say, oh, I said yes and I shouldn't have said yes. So it's okay to promise slowly. Take your time. It's okay to get back to people. So therefore, when you are excited, never make a big commitment. Just slow down, talk to God about it, come back to him, come back to the person. I want to share how this works in my life right now. Right now, I believe that God has given me 4 big opportunities that I have said yes to. The first is that I am a child of God. That when I was younger, God opened the door for me to realize that he loves me, he wants a relationship with me, and he wants to forgive me, and I'm a person of sin. And I said yes to God. That's one of my big yeses in my life. I'm always asking God, how do I increase my devotional life to you? How do I get closer to you? My second yes is I'm a husband. I said yes to my wife 11 years ago. I made a vow to her. So that is a big yes. That took a lot of time before I said yes. We went to counseling. We talked about our relationship. We asked for input. My third yes is I'm a dad. I'm a father. I have 2 little boys. When Becky and I had kids, that changed something. It opened up a new thing for me. That's a big yes that I need to put time into. The fourth yes, and the one I want to share about, is that God has called me to be a pastor of Edgewater. And this is how this plays out. Because of my previous ministry, I was involved with a lot of college students. I still, and it's very honoring, I still get lots of calls, requests for me to go speak at college campuses, usually about 3 or 4 times a year. I love that. I love being on my old turf. I love helping my old partners. I love the ministry, and I love to teach from God's word. And so everything in me, when I get that email or call saying, hey, John, can you speak, wants to say yes, because I get so excited. But I've learned that to have a good yes, I need to stop and say, can I get back to you? So the first thing I do is I look at the schedule. You know, does this fit with my schedule? Secondly, I talked to my wife. Hey, Becky, if I do this, I'm going to have to be out that night. Is that okay? Then I begin to think, how much preparation time will this take? And what will this take out of my Edgewater thing? And the thing is, Edgewater is my big yes, not speaking at these things. And so I need to make sure it doesn't take away from what I'm doing here. Often, I need to say no to those things. You know, it doesn't work out with scheduling. In fact, I got asked to speak right before January 30th, and I said, no, we're changing our service time. We're starting a new teaching series. It's a bad time. And often, it's a no. When it is a yes, when I make my promise, because my big yes is to being a pastor, I always try to figure out, how do I integrate this with my church? And so I rarely go to these speaking engagements alone. I usually call one of you up and say, hey, I'm going to take a road trip. You guys want to come? And so if you haven't been called by me, one day you probably will. But the idea is I try to make good use of this time so it's benefiting me as a pastor. If I say yes too quickly to those things, as the weeks get closer, I regret more and more what I said. I show up and I'm bitter. Why am I here? Why do I have to drive an hour? Do you know how much this is taking out of my schedule? But I've learned to promise slowly. A few months ago, I got another opportunity. I was invited to be part of something called a Micah group. They're starting this new thing with a retired pastor I really respect. He's now a seminary professor. And it's a preaching cohort. It's a two-year commitment where I get to meet with about 12 other pastors every other month to work on our preaching, to work on our lives as preachers. And I read this and I thought, oh, I want to do this. It has a retreat at the beginning, and 2 years later it has a retreat at the end. But I realized this is a big thing. And my big yes is to this church. How will it affect this church? So the first thing I did is I talked to my wife. But the second thing I did is I brought it to our leadership team, the leaders in our church. And I said, hey, you guys, this is an opportunity. It looks really, really good. But I don't know how this is going to affect church life. Will it take me away from being a pastor? And so I'm so glad that I brought this up to leaders because they began to ask me questions. Well, how much time is involved between your meetings? How much work will you have to do? How much reading? I'm like, I don't know. So it brought me to asking all these questions. We answered all the questions. I brought it to the leadership team. There's a general consensus. This would be a good thing. It will make me a better pastor for Edgewater. And so I said yes. But my temptation, and perhaps your temptation, when really good opportunities come along, is just to say yes quickly. They seem so from God. But you will hurt yourself if you do that. God wants your yes to be good, to be strong, to be valuable, to be trustworthy. And so it's wise to promise slowly. What opportunities are coming your way right now? What is God putting on your heart as a possibility where he might be calling you, perhaps in your career, perhaps with family, perhaps at church? What is your big yes? Even if it is something you sense God might be calling you to, promise slowly. Get other people's input. Count the cost so that your word is good as gold. Make sense? Oh, we're quiet this morning. Make sense? All right. You guys don't want to say yes because you're scared. I don't want to promise anything. Here's the second thing. Deliver more than you promise. Deliver more than your promise. If you're actually able to say no to a lot of other things because you know how to say yes to your big things, what it does is it gives you opportunity to put a lot more into your yeses. Let me explain what I mean. Ultimately, God has wired you and has gifted you to do something for him. He's given you natural abilities that you were just born with. Some of you are wonderful singers. Some of you are natural athletes. Some of you are great speakers. Some of you are creative beyond belief. God, you were just born with these things. You know, your parents knew when you were 6 years old, you're going to be doing something. He wired you. When you became a believer, God gave you spiritual gifts, things that were supernatural that maybe even came along with your natural abilities or something totally new. Some of you have the power of prayer, the power of healing, the power of preaching, the power of evangelism that God has given you. And he's given that to you because he has a call on your life. He's also given you experiences. He's given you a personality. He's given you passions. And God has a big yes for you. And your job as you grow up in faith with him is to discern more and more, God, what is it that you're calling me to? What is it that you have for me? And the more you're able to learn from God what that is, the bigger yes you're able to give to those things, and you're going to learn to say no to other things. Some studies have been done on spiritual gifting and people kind of discovering their call from God. I just want to share, this isn't hard and fast, but just general principles. If you're in your 20s, I won't have people raise hands because we'll get older and people might be embarrassed, but if you're in your 20s, this is the age where it's okay to experiment with a lot of different things God might be calling you to. Hey, I want to try the worship team. Hey, I want to try greeting. Hey, I want to try whatever. Because a lot of how we learn what God is calling us to is by trying things, by exposure. You know, no one would have, you can take some tests on spiritual gifts and calling, but they don't really work. You know, the only way I discovered that God might have me be as a preacher is someone asked me to preach once. And I finished that, and they said, hey, that was pretty good. You want to do it again? I said, sure. That was the only way. If I took a test, hey, how's your preaching experience? I would have said, zero. I have none. So one of the best ways to learn, especially in your 20s, is to try lots of things. See what works. See what God does in your life while you minister. See what comes alive in you. It's okay to try lots of things. Now, usually in your 30s, that gets a bit exhausting. And you begin to think, okay, I need to begin to focus. You know, God, in general, what are you calling me to? And you begin to have three or four areas that you think, you know, I think God wired me this way. I'm going to say yes to these things, but say no to these other things. I have passion for these things, but I'm not having as much passion on these things. In your 40s, you tend to begin to find that one or two things that God has called you to. You sense, you know, God, I just feel this peace that when I am in this zone serving you, I see the fruit in people's lives. I feel alive because you're working in me. And you really begin to sense your call. But it's really only in your 50s and 60s and 70s where you begin to even shine in that call. It's called the afterglow. You're just in your element. And people walk around, you've been following Jesus for years, they go, wow, that man or that woman is from God. They've been living in the zone. That's a general thing, And what you want to do is begin to discover your big yes. Where is God calling you? What is he calling you to? The more you discover that, the more you can say yes to that opportunity and no to other ones, and you could actually deliver more than you promised. But what I mean by that is that when you say yes, you're not just saying yes to the opportunity, but you're actually coming through more than the person expected you to. I didn't ask Blanca to use her as an example. I'm going to. Blanca is doing hospitality for us. No one asked her to make lots of vegetable dishes, but she went all out to do that. She's living her yes. You guys, God has called you to something, and when you find it, you're able to go above and beyond what God has called you to, so you deliver more than you promise. All of this is motivated by who God is. Do you know that God is good on his word to you? That when God promises something, you can rely on it? I am so glad God is not like me or like us. We're the kinds of people that often promise and then you hope they come through. Not so with God. When God says something, he is reliable. His promises are good. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it." Let's read that verse again out loud together. "The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it." God is good on his word. 2 Timothy 2:13, let's read that one out aloud together. "If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." What that verse says is that God's promises to you and me aren't based on our promises to him. That we can mess up and God is still faithful. Well, we can blow it, but God will not change his promises on us. He is reliable. And so as children of God, we want to be that reliable too. We are his hands and feet, so we also want to be true to our word. That's why in Colossians 3:23 it says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." So what God is saying here is that whatever he calls you to, what those big yeses are, do it with all your heart. You are not just serving a person, you are serving God himself. So deliver more than you promise. Go all out. There is a reward because you have a Father in heaven who sees what you do, whether it be public or private, for him. And he says, "I see it and I will reward that. You are working for me." And that is a good thing. I want to suggest to you that you have anywhere from 2 to 5 big yeses in your life from God. It depends on your life stages and circumstances. One is this, your relationship with God. That is a big yes. Go above and beyond. Grow in Jesus. The second, if you're married, your husband or wife is a big yes. It's someone you are promising to, that you are going to deliver more than you promise. If you have children, then your next big yes is your father, as a father or mother. Some of you who don't have children, you've adopted an aunt or a niece or a nephew as the person that you have a big yes to, or a grandchild. The fourth is your career. That's a big yes, that God calls us to careers, things that we are called to work, that work is good. Sometimes if you're at home working with your kids, your career is your kids, and that is just as valid. And finally, the fifth yes is a ministry to build up the church, that God calls you to ministry, to serve his body, so you can have a big yes. And all those things, God is saying, promise slowly and deliver more than you promise. Now, let's be real. Things come up. You promised something. You said you'd be there. You signed up for something. You said you'd take this on, and things come up. You get sick. A kid gets sick. You have a crummy day. Whatever it is, you can list the things. Things come up. This isn't being about perfection or legalism. What do you do when you have to break a commitment? What do you do when you have to break a promise? And I want you to catch this right now, that even how you break a commitment communicates your reliability. Even how you get out of something you promise speaks to people about how reliable you are. So I just want to give some practical tips, four practical tips on when you need to break a promise. And this isn't in your notes, so you can just write this in. When you realize that you can't follow through on a commitment, here's the first thing. Speak directly to the person. And I say this because the temptation is to text, to send an email or a Facebook message. And I think what happens for us, and I'm guilty of this too, is you feel bad and you think, hey, I'll just send the text. They can never talk back to me. I'll never feel ashamed of it. I'll just send a little message. But what that is, imagine me on the other side of that for a moment. You're counting on someone to come through for something and they send you a text. I can't do it. You're stuck, right? But if you call and say, hey, I said I was going to do this. This is what happened. I have to get out of this. What you're saying is, I care. I'm trying to be responsible. I want to communicate directly with you about this. Does this make sense? So avoid any type of indirect communication. Phone, in person is good, but just stay away from the things that don't allow interaction. Here's the second thing, is ask to yourself, if I don't come through with this, is this going to cause a burden to anyone? In other words, who am I inconveniencing? So for instance, you're signed up to bring something to your growth group and you can't make growth group. Or, you know, you said you'd be at a meeting at work and you can't make the meeting. You want to think ahead and say, who is this affecting? Was I supposed to bring something that now someone won't be there? Was I supposed to do something and now someone else has to do it? You want to think ahead and think, who am I burdening? And then you ask, what can I do? Is there anything I can do to help with this burden? I had people cancel on me. They were supposed to come to the office and do something for me. They've called and canceled and said, I can't make it. My daughter got sick. But I called someone else, and they're going to show up for me and do the work. Do you see what that does? It says, wow, that person is reliable. Yeah, they had to get out of the commitment, but they thought ahead of the burden, and they actually took steps to make up for that burden. Will I trust that person next time? Absolutely. Something came up. But they thought through, and they tried to alleviate the burden. So what you want to do, what we want to do when we break up a commitment is think ahead, who am I inconveniencing? Is there anything I can do to help out? Are we on this, on the same page here? Okay. We're tired today. Wow. Good morning, January. Okay. Number three. If you find yourself that this is a pattern that you're breaking commitments, like, yeah, wow, you know, seems like every week I'm dropping the ball on something, then you want to step back and say, God, is there something about me that I need to change? You know, is there something about me, God? Do I, you know, am I not writing things down? Am I being too irresponsible with my promises? Am I, whatever it is, if there's a pattern, then instead of saying, you know, hey, I want to keep breaking commitments, well, you want to start asking, God, what do I need to change in me so I'm more reliable? Why is there a pattern for me? You know, I was joking with Peter in the office. Here's my pattern is I always think I can fit more in before my next appointment. So I have 10 minutes left to meet someone for coffee. I think, oh, I can write a sermon real quick, you know, and I try to cram in real quick, and I'm always, you know, a little late because my issue is I always think I can fit more in than I can. I need to learn just to stop. So I have 10 minutes, it's time to put away and go. That's my pattern. So if you begin to see that there's patterns of you just breaking commandments, ask God, what is it about me that you want me to change, and will you help me to do that? Here's the fourth principle, and it's a little tangent here. But there is a difference between dishonoring your word with someone and breaking a contract. And let me explain this. And I wish I had said this months ago, because I know a lot of us have made promises to say on our mortgages, and we've signed contracts. When you give a word to someone, you want your word to be as good as gold. A contract has a different nature. A contract is saying, I will do this. You sign something, I will do this, but if I don't do this, you will do this. This is an agreement ahead of time of what happens if you don't follow through. You always want to stay true to your contract, but sometimes you need to break them. But that's a little different. Things come up. But in the contract, you've actually thought ahead with the person you're talking to about what happens if I don't come through. And there's agreement already ahead of time of what happens. You guys with me on that? Okay. So when you break your commitment, you still want to be seen as a reliable person. You want to communicate. You care. You want to communicate in person. You want to think ahead. Jesus is saying, let your yes be yes. When people hear your yes, let them think, that's good as gold. That person's reliable. They're not flimsy. They're not just saying things on the side. But that person is true and trustworthy. As believers, especially in the workplace, we're representing our God who is true to his word. And so we want to do the same thing when we talk to other people. God is true with us, and we want to be true with other people. Imagine for a moment, Edgewater, if we were a church known both as a group and individually as people who are good on their word. Someone would say, hey, you know, Sue promises. Oh, Sue goes to Edgewater. Oh, she'll come through because that church is reliable. Oh, Tom said he's going to come through. Tom's from Edgewater. Tom's a believer. He'll come through. He knows what it's like to have a God who's faithful to him. We want to become people who represent our Father in heaven. Let's be good on our word. And when things come up, let's be responsible when we break those commitments. Let's show people that our yes is a yes and our no is a no. And the more we're able to develop that pattern, the more we're able to say no to the right things and yes to the right things, our yeses will become bigger. We'll be able to deliver more than we can promise. This isn't in your outline, but Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord is pleased with those who keep their promises. How many of you want God to be pleased with you? Then let's keep our promises. Amen? Amen. Great. Let me pray for us. Lord, I confess that this is a growth area for me. Lord, there are times where I think I can do more than I can, and I break promises because I didn't come through on time. And Lord, we just come collectively to you right now to ask for forgiveness. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for not coming through. God, we ask that you would show us more and more of what you're like. Lord, the more we understand how faithful you are to your promises to us, I believe the more we'll be faithful to our promises to other people. So, Lord, I pray you would show us what our big yeses are, what it is you're calling us to, so that we can deliver more than we promise. God, help us slow down when opportunities come our way, just to ask you and ask those important to us for their perspective. God, we don't want to be smart people who do dumb things. We want to be smart people who do smart things. So help us, Lord, promise well and deliver generously. And every morning, we also just take a moment for those of you who are here who want to give your life to Jesus. If you're sitting here this morning, if you've not yet committed your life to Jesus and you want to have him in your life, you want to have a relationship with him, you want to ask him for forgiveness of your sins, you want to have him as the leader of your life, will you pray with me right now, just between you and God? God, this is my day. I know my sin. Will you please forgive me? Jesus, come into my heart. Lord, I now make you the leader of my life. And if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family. And if all God's people said together, amen, amen. Great.